By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم If you can please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another morning with Madani Channel. Another morning of rise and shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, each and every single day on rise and shine, we have the tilawat of the glorious Quran, the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as this, our daily topic. Sayyiduna Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Yes, the greatest of all the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A true lover of Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And today, inshallah, we shall be hearing about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. About his piety, inshallah, yes, about the piety of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some people will be thinking, you know, why did he need to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a brilliant question, which we shall be addressing very, very soon. My dear viewers, one way of being granted shifa is to turn towards the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Yes, by listening, by looking at the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, by reading the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, a person is able to gain shifa too. So let's, inshallah, as we do with each and every single morning, let's begin this morning by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Please do remember that when you are listening to the Quran, firstly, any good action, perform good intentions, make intentions, because innamal a'malu binniyat, because the a'mal of a person, the actions which we perform, they are based upon what? They are based upon intentions, and the more good intentions we make, the more reward we can gain. As well as this, especially when reading the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we must give our full attention to the recitation of the Quran. We are on Surah Bani Israel. Let's just begin by listening to the glorious Quran recitation. Sallu ala al-habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
فأراد أن يستفزهم من الأرض فأغرقناه ومن معه جميعا
تو اس نے چاہا کہ ان کو زمین سے نکال دے تو ہم نے اسے اور اس کے ساتھیوں سب کو ڈبو دیا
وقلنا من بعده لبني إسرائيل اسكنوا الأرض فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة جئنا بكم لفيفا
اور اس کے بعد ہم نے بنی اسرائیل سے فرمایا اس زمین میں بسو پھر جب آخرت کا وعدہ آئے گا ہم تم سب کو گھال میں لے آئیں گے
وبالحق انزلناه وبالحق نزل
اور ہم نے قرآن کو حق ہی کے ساتھ اتارا اور حق ہی کے ساتھ اترا
وما ارسلناك الا مبشرا ونذيرا
اور ہم نے تمہیں نہ بھیجا مگر خوشی اور ڈر سناتا.
وَقُرْآنًا فَرَقْنَاهُ لِتَقْرَأَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ عَلَى مُكْثٍ وَنَزَّلْنَاهُ تَنزِيلًا.
اور قرآن ہم نے جدا جدا کر کے اتارا کہ تم اسے لوگوں پر ٹھہر ٹھہر کر پڑھو، اور ہم نے اسے بتدریج رہ رہ کر اتارا.
قل آمنوا به او لا تؤمنوا،
تم فرماؤ کہ تم لوگ اس پر ایمان لاؤ یا نہ لاؤ.
ان الذين اوتوا العلم من قبله اذا يتلى عليهم يخرون للاذقان سجدا.
بے شک وہ جنہیں اس کے اترنے سے پہلے علم ملا، جب ان پر پڑھا جاتا ہے تھوڑی کے بل سجدے میں گر پڑتے ہیں.
وَيَقُولُونَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّنَا إِن كَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّنَا لَمَفْعُولًا،
اور کہتے ہیں پاکی ہے ہمارے رب کو، بے شک ہمارے رب کا وعدہ پورا ہونا تھا.
وَيَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَذْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ وَيَزِيدُهُمْ خُشُوعًا،
اور تھوڑی کے بل گرتے ہیں روتے ہوئے، اور یہ قرآن ان کے دل کا جھکنا بڑھاتا ہے.
قل ادعوا اللہ او ادعوا الرحمن ایما تدعوا فلہ الاسماء الحسنى،
تم فرماؤ اللہ کہہ کر پکارو یا رحمان کہہ کر، جو کہہ کر پکارو سب اسی کے اچھے نام ہیں.
وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِدْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا،
اور اپنی نماز نہ بہت آواز سے پڑھو نہ بالکل آہستہ، اور ان دونوں کے بیچ میں راستہ چاہو.
وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا.
اور یوں کہو سب خوبیاں اللہ کو جس نے اپنے لیے بچہ اختیار نہ فرمایا، اور بادشاہی میں کوئی اس کا شریک نہیں، اور کمزوری سے کوئی اس کا حمایت ہی نہیں، اور اس کی بڑائی بولنے کو تکبیر کہو.
صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. سورة بني إسرائيل, the 17th chapter of the glorious Quran, also known as Surah Isra. Now, my dear viewers, the month, I was just thinking about this a moment ago. The Islamic months, first is Muharram, then Safar, then Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Akhir, Jumad al-Awwal, Jumad al-Akhir. So we are in the sixth month. And then after the sixth month, we have what? Rajab, and then Sha'ban, and then Ramadan al-Mubarak. Three beautiful months. Three beautiful months, my dear viewers. Rajab, Sha'ban, Rajab al-Murajab is known as the month of Sha'ban, the month of Ramadan Sharif. This is beautiful. My dear viewers of the channel, Rajab is that month in which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi, because we are hearing Surah Bani Israel, which I stated is also known as Surah al-Isra. Now, Surah Al-Isra is named after the Isra, the journey, the night journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which took place, the entire journey this is, with only a moment. It's like a moment that says done. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during this time, he traveled from one place to another. Is it another continent? Not really, because it's the Middle East. So it's still kind of part of, but from, you know, one country to another. And the duration of that journey is normally about 3 months between Makkah al-Mukarramah and Al-Quds al-Sharif and Jerusalem and Ephesus. 3 months journey. And it's not just 3 months journey. But this is, okay, 3 months journey took place in a moment. But then there was much more too. There was also the going to the heavens, which is possibly millions of years. Allahu A'lam, but possibly millions of years. This is how much he journeyed within a moment. And why? Some people would be thinking, how? And it's quite simple, isn't it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had taken Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do subhanallah as he wishes. And you know, it's not impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the creator of time. He's the creator of everything, my dear viewers, the creator of me, the creator of you. And if that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed, that's it. It can happen. The month, my dear viewers, of Rajab, which also means, you know, this is also something very, very important for us to understand from this. There's a month of Rajab, and then there's a month of Sha'ban. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yes, he would regularly fast in the month of Rajab. He would also fast during the month, regularly during the month of Sha'ban. You would fast many days during the month of Sha'ban. And after the month of Sha'ban, what do we have? The month of Ramadan Sharif. My dear viewers, there is so much for us to be doing. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to physically prepare ourselves. We need to mentally prepare ourselves. We must spiritually prepare ourselves. Yes, spiritually, our food. Remember, during the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, we do not eat. Not during the whole month we do not eat, but during the days, well, we are fasting, aren't we? So we are refraining from food, drink, etc. during the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. So we need to cut down on these things. How much is it we are eating? And also, as well as this, you know, there's many blessings mentioned about the virtues of fasting during the month of Sha'ban Sharif. Even Rajab. So we also need to begin keeping a few fasts, inshallah, as well as that, let's begin to read the Quran now. So that inshallah, during the month of Ramadan, we are a little used to it and we can read more regularly, inshallah. And yes, there are so many other things. It said that a person who misses the month of Ramadan Sharif without a valid excuse, a person who misses a fast of the month of Ramadan Sharif, if he would never ever be able to make up for it. Even if it was to fast his entire life. Imagine that. Imagine the greatness of a single fast of the glorious month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. So we must prepare for that month. Yes, physically, that's just one thing, fasting. But that's not true fasting. Fasting is not only refraining from food and water. That's not true fasting. True fasting is also protecting one's limbs from sinning. True fasting is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True fasting is acting upon the deen, everything in accordance with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is true fasting. We pray, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us to once again attain the blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah, so that we may fast, we may make the most of this great, this blessed month. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan Sharif is a great month. And one thing I would say, my dear viewers, you know, I did say that the other day about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. And yes, we should do this. We should do this nearly every day. You know, do you know who Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu is? Ask your children. Do you know who he is? Do you know who Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu is? Do you know who Hazrat Usman Ghani radhiyallahu anhu is? Do you know who Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu al-Kareem is? Ask them, do you know who they are? And they'll think, oh, wow, who is this person? I want to know. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. And then you're like, no, tell us now. And tell them stories. Teach them about the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As well as this, also tell them. Because I remember when I was young, and when the month of Ramadan was coming, and my mother used to say, Ramadan's coming, we need to prepare. And what they would do is they would prepare food, etc., etc. But it's just that, and it felt special. That's what's important. That I was young, I didn't know anything about it. Don't know how many times we fasted at that time. You know, we were young. But we all used to look forward to Ramadan Sharif. And this is how it should be. It shouldn't just be a normal thing. Some people for the month of Ramadan, and I don't know why we're talking about this so much, but inshallah, we do need to prepare ourselves, don't we? Some people are like, what did you have for Sehri? They're like, oh yeah, I had my cereal. And you think, what, you had cereal for Sehri? And this is what people do, they have cereal. For Sehri, you know, you had this cereal and that cereal, and that's it, or biscuits and milk. This is their Sehri, and I think, wow, mashallah. You know, our mother used to, you know, make us so many things, whether, you know, Allahu Akbar, the table just be full of different various type of good foods, which a person is able to retain for a long time, which keeps a person going for a very long time, which is digested very, very slowly, etc. So there's, you know, it made Ramadan Sharif special. We used to all eat together. So these are the things we should be planning for. You know, everybody having Sehri together. All, you know, all the family together, yes, having Sehri. And rarely do we all eat together. Rarely do we all even get the chance. Even if people who live in the same house, many times they don't see their own brothers and sisters many times. But during the month of Ramadan Sharif, that's everybody. And these are the things we should have, because Ramadan Sharif, there's so much more to it. It is so special. And it should be, yes, good and special for the family. And then reading the Fajr prayer together. Things like this, having a dars. Honestly, Ramadan Sharif is beautiful. We need to prepare for Ramadan Sharif. But today, that's all on that topic. We were speaking about Surah Al-Isra, and we've come to this, subhanAllah. Now, let's listen to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds. The most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah, ya Habib Allah, ya Nabi Allah, ya Nur Allah,
hirze jaan zikr e shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye. Hirze jaan zikr e shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Unke naqshe pa pe ghairat kijiye, unke naqshe pa pe ghairat kijiye. Aankh se chup kar ziyarat kijiye, aankh se chup kar ziyarat kijiye.
Hirze jaan zikr e shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Unke dar pe jaise ghum mit jaiye, unke dar pe jaise ghum mit jaiye. Natawano kuch to himmat kijiye, natawano kuch to himmat kijiye.
Hirze jaan zikr e shafaat kijiye, naar se bachne ki surat kijiye.
Unke dar par baithiye ban kar faqeer, unke dar par baithiye ban kar faqeer. Benawao fikre sarvat kijiye, benawao fikre sarvat kijiye.
Hirze jaan zikre shafaat kijiye, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجیے.
ہم تو مارے گو کے کس کے پاس جائیں, ہم تو مارے ہو کے کس کے پاس جائیں. صدقہ شہزادوں کا رحمت کیجئے, صدقہ شہزادوں کا رحمت کیجئے.
خیر سے ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
نعرہ کیجئے یا رسول اللہ کا, نعرہ کیجئے یا رسول اللہ کا. مفلس و سامان دولت کیجئے, مفلس و سامان دولت کیجئے.
حرز جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
در بدر کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب, در بدر کب تک پھرے خستہ خراب. طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے, طیبہ میں مدفن عنایت کیجئے.
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
خدا ہمت کے یہ جانے حسین, دے خدا ہمت کے یہ جانے حسین. آپ پروارے وہ صورت کیجئے, آپ پروارے وہ صورت کیجئے.
حرز جان ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا, جو نہ بھولا ہم غریبوں کو رضا. یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے, یاد اس کی اپنی عادت کیجئے.
ذکر شفاعت کیجئے, نار سے بچنے کی صورت کیجئے.
یا نور اللہ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Mandalay Channel, today we shall be hearing about the greatest of all people after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, Rasulullah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم is the greatest. All the prophets are the greatest of people. Amongst the prophets is the Imam al-Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the greatest of all people is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, previously we've spoken a little about him, you know, his how he was ready to give his life for the sake of deen, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was ready to give all of his wealth And that just means a lot of wealth. People give, mashallah, a lot of wealth. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu was ready and did even give his entire wealth in the cause, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that even his clothing and what he was wearing was one simple robe, and which the stitches, how was it stitched? How was it placed together? By means of thorns. This is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. But as well as all of this, Madhavi was the rank which he had attained. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would love him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember, he's also from the Ashara Mubashara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many times he would hug him. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left everybody else behind, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took with him who? To Al-Madinah Al-Manawwara, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. He would also state many times praising Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. You know, there are all of these things. But after having attained, after having been given such a status, such a rank, yes, such compassion, yes, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam showed him so much love and kindness and compassion. And you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very close to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. You can say after having, you know, the right-hand man, as sometimes we say, not really, but yes, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the next leader. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last and final prophet, and the first khalifa was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. So he would be sitting at the right of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. And up until this very day, he is still with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, yes, during his life, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu would be by his right, by the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even up until passing away, he still rests besides Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is the rank he has. Allahu Akbar. And there's so much more in terms of the rank. Yes, the first Khalifa, the greatest. So many things, my devils. But after all of these things, after all of these things that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been granted, yet Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was extremely pious. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he's known as Al-Atqa. Within the glorious Quran is stating about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu that he is Atqa. Allahu Akbar. He fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Some people would say, why? He's so great. Why does he need to have fear? He has been promised paradise within the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Yes, the Muhajirun, the Ansar, as well as this, all of the companions, they have been promised Jannah. He directly, explicitly had been promised Jannah from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. But yet he would have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, this is correct. He would still fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would still cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would still never miss any prayer. And subhanAllah, just a point. So just something to think about. Our state is, remember, we have performed many actions. Maybe we perform many good actions throughout our life. Let's just say, mashallah, we've read many prayers. Have we read every single prayer? A person who misses a single prayer is deserving of punishment. A single prayer, it's mentioned that this person's name is written on the door of the hell of Jahannam. Yes, for missing a single prayer. Okay. Then, as well as this, the good deeds which we have performed, the salah we have performed, how careful are we with our purity? Do we know our ablution? Do you know how to perform ghusl, etc.? How to keep our clothes clean? Those things which make our clothes, you can say, impure. Are we aware of, or even when performing the actions, who were we performing for? Was it because we were
forced to do it by our parents, possibly initially, maybe not even that, maybe just to show other people, maybe just to act like this person is pious. What were the reasons for us doing all these too? Allahu Akbar, so many questions, my dear viewers, come to mind. That who are we? What have we been? Have we been promised anything? Have we been promised Jannah? No. Have we been, you know, given such a close rank to the greatest of all people? Rasulullah, no, you know, we are nothing compared to them. Yet, we somehow think, oh no, Allah Ta'ala, and this is what people say, Allah Ta'ala is the one who forgives. Of course, He's the one who forgives. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is also the one who punishes. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, yes, grants respect, but Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is also the one who grants humiliation, who humiliates. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the one who lowers people in rank. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the one who destroys people too. Do we forget about all of these? So this is what many people think. They think, no, it's okay, no problem. You know, Allah Ta'ala is the one who forgives. Yes, He's a forgiver, but there are conditions for forgiveness. And He's the one that's told us. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the one that's told us there are conditions. He has sent Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us there's conditions for forgiveness. It's not just that, yes, minor sins. For example, we are performing ablution. You know, sometimes we perform a good act after having performed minor sins are forgiven. But major sins, they're not just forgiven like that. It's not just that you can go and, you know, kiss the Hajr al-Aswad and that's it. So somehow you're going to be forgiven for all your major sins. It doesn't work that easily, my dear viewers. No, for major sins for forgiveness, we must first understand what we have done was completely wrong. We shouldn't have done it. It's prohibited. It's bad. We must feel guilty. We must never, ever, we must have this firm intention that we will never, we must have this firm promise that we will never perform such a sin again. And if it's something we need to make up for example, salah, if we miss our prayer, we need to make up for it, then part of it, we must also make up for it too. This is repentance. And then if our repentance is accepted, and then you can say, yes, when we've done all of these, with sincerity, that is, we were sincere, and then we were to do all these, then we can say, yes, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the forgiving. But it's not just one way, it's not just me saying to somebody, imagine you had some sort of friend, and you were to say something to that friend, you were to disrespect to that friend. Whatever he was to tell you, you were not to do it. What would that person say? Look, whatever I'm telling you, you're not doing it, and now you keep coming to me, and you keep asking me. I told you, look, do this, you will get this, you'll be okay. You don't do it, you come back and you're asking again. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much, but we continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we, my dear viewers? Imagine Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, the greatest of all the companions. Who are we? We are nothing. We are nothing, but yet we think, you know, Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive us. Yes, we should be hopeful, inshallah. We should have this tawakkul, but that's by performing good actions. It's not continuing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then thinking, yes, I have hope. This is not hope. This is not hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the greatest of all the companions. You know, one thing when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can say he's a prophet. He's infallible. The prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'asum, aren't they? You know, they cannot even commit sins. Right, that's out of the question. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are ma'asum. They cannot even commit sin. That's fine. Companions, they can make mistakes, can't they? Yes, companions can make mistakes. Remember, they still promised paradise. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have all been promised paradise. They're all the greatest of all mankind after the prophets. But yes, we don't class them, we don't say they're ma'asum. But none of the companions, whether it be the family companions, it doesn't matter who it is. But none of the companions are ma'asum. This is specific for prophets, even for angels. But otherwise, my dear viewers, the companions, okay, they can make mistakes. This is the Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, this great companion. You would have so much fear, and inshallah, we shall hear about the fear which he possesses, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. My dear viewers, inshallah, the point being that he has been given everything in terms of, you know, the promised Jannah. That's in a way, everything. That's success. No matter what is from the Ashra Mubashara. Yes, all the companions were promised Jannah, but there's something special about the Ashra Mubashara. They're the 10 who Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has explicitly mentioned, you will definitely go to Jannah. They have been promised, whatever happens, they will go to Jannah. So these companions, Rizal Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, the greatest even amongst them, but yet he would have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a huge lesson for us to be thinking about, my dear viewers. Rizal Abu Bakr Siddiq, he would still read all of his prayers. Remember, after that, he didn't need to do anything. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu would still always be besides Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is sincerity, isn't it? This is sincerity, my dear viewers. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, the greatest of all the companions. And there's one story from his life which I'll mention, and then inshallah I shall come to this too. But it's stated about his acceptance, because today's topic is even more than fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hear about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, and also, yes, his fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He traveled to Yemen. So these were two places which people would regularly travel to. One is south towards Yemen, and another is north towards them days Sham, them days greatest city of medieval. So, you know, they would travel to both places. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he's traveling to Yemen, and there was this very, very elderly man. It's mentioned he was a scholar. There was an elderly man, and it said that he looked at this person. This is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu himself is narrating this. That this elderly man, he looked at me and he says to me, "It seems like you are from Makkah al-Mukarramah." He says, "Yes, that I am from Makkah." And then he says, this old man, he says, "Are you from Quraysh? Are you from Quraysh?" He replies, "Yes, I'm from Quraysh." Allahu Akbar. Not everybody is from Quraysh, from Makkah al-Mukarramah, but okay. He says, "Yes, I'm from Quraysh," but many of them are, especially because it was under their control, wasn't it? The Quraysh in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Okay, then says, "Are you also a Taymi?" Now this is beautiful, because not all, and many of them were not in fact, they were not all Taymi in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But immediately he asked, "Are you Taymi?" Allahu Akbar. And he replies that, "Yes, I am from the lineage of Taym ibn Murrah." He then says that, you know, like, subhanAllah, all of these signs are true. All of these signs are true. But there's one more sign left to be able to see. And he says that, "Show me your stomach." You know, this person, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, is again, "Show you my stomach? Well, what are you on about? What are you talking about?" And he says that, "I'm not going to show you my stomach. No, not until you tell me." And then that person, he replies, he says, "According to my correct and true knowledge," he's confident, he says, "I know that a prophet will be sent to the earth, to the soil of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and that there shall be two helpers, two people, two persons will help him. One of them will be a conqueror of wars and will resolve the problems. And the second will be of a fair complexion and he will be slim too. But his stomach shall have a mole, and his left thigh shall be bearing a sign." He replies that, "When I removed this cloth from my stomach, he looked and he saw a black mole just above the navel, that is, above the navel. And he said, 'I take an oath by the Rabb of the Kaaba, this person is you. I was supposed to come and visit you.'" Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he says, "Why?" He replied, "Just to tell you not to deviate from the true path and continue fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the blessings He has bestowed upon you." This is beautiful. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was before he accepted Islam. One, do not deviate from the path. And then, even despite all the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, even then, do not stop fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, the amount of blessings we have been given. Even in this day and age, we have been given so many blessings. We've always, you know, people have always been given so many blessings. Imagine the amount of blessings we have been given. But those people who have been given all these blessings, they stop to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be the opposite. Such people should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. Why? Because you shall be asked about all of the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Yes. He shall ask you about all of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Allahu Akbar. We need to think about this. The story, it continues. So he's told, you must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, when I left, he says to me, he says, listen to some of my poetry, which I have composed in favor of the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he then recited some poetry. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq says, when I returned to Mecca, some of my acquaintances at the time, these people were sadly very, very evil people and even harmed Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq later. One was Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, Shayba, Rabi'a, Abu Jahl. These people met me and informed me that a great incident has occurred. When you were in Yemen, a nephew of Abu Talib has declared himself as the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you were not here, then I would have not waited to make a decision. But since you have arrived, now the decision is in your hands. This shows the greatness of rank that he possessed, the respect he had. Now he states that, you know, after hearing this, he sends them, go home, okay, I'll go, I'll look into it, etc. And then he finds out that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the house of Hazrat Sayyida Duna, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha. He says, I knocked at the door and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and I said, oh Muhammad, why did you abandon the religion of your ancestors? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replies and he says, undoubtedly, I am the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you and all the people. Now you must have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he says to him, that what is this evidence of your prophethood? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies by revealing the knowledge of the, you know, the ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. That the evidence of my prophethood is of an elderly man who you had met in Yemen. I said, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq says, you know, I have met many elderly men in Yemen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, I am talking about that elderly man who had also recited some poetry for you. Allahu Akbar. And then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he says, how is it that you know about this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that it is that exalted angel who used to visit the previous prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. Meaning, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam had given him information about this. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, then he recites the kalima shahada. He testifies that there is no God but Allah and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one way which is mentioned how Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he embraced and he accepted Islam. Remember, this is another very, very important point. From all of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu is the first to accept Islam. We'll speak a little more on this. First, let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Great Sahabi Rasul Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an was extremely brave, possessing unshakable firmness in faith and the highest extent of piety, taqwa. He would refrain from worldly pleasures and would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. One day, he was tending to his animals when his son Umar bin Sa'ad arrived and asked, "O beloved father, you are here tending your camels and goats when people are discussing issues of the caliphate." Hearing this, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an lovingly struck his hand against the chest of his son and said, "Uskut, be quiet. I heard the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallama stating, 'Allah indeed loves a servant who is righteous, independent and hidden.'" Respected viewers of Madani Shal, these are three beautiful qualities a believer, a mu'min should possess. This was guided by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama and narrated by Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. What are those beautiful qualities which have been mentioned, that one should be righteous, one should have taqwa, piety within one's personality, and one should be independent, one should not rely on others, depend on others. And further is that a person should remain hidden. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to adopt all these three mentioned qualities by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Shal, today we are speaking about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A beautiful narration mentioned by Hazrat Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He states that once we were sitting in the court of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, water and honey was brought and presented before them. Water and honey. And when it was brought towards Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu began to cry. He began to weep. And seeing him weeping, seeing him in such a state, seeing him crying, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they turned to him and they also began to cry. Allahu Akbar, they also began to cry. Seeing the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of all the believers, the Khalifa, the first Khalifa of Islam, seeing him cry, it made them cry too. And they wondered, why is it that that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was crying? After some time, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, after having wiped the tears away, the blessed companion radiallahu anhum, they asked that, "O Khalifa, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, O the first Khalifa of Islam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, why is it that you cried? What is it that made you cry?" And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied, he says, "I was once sitting in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam remove something from his blessed body. I was not able to see it. I wasn't able to see anything. But I saw him remove something from his body. I said, 'Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is it that you are removing?' And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replied, 'Worldliness.'" Now what is it he's removing is what? "Worldliness intended to indulge me." Allahu Akbar. "I said to it, 'Go away.' It then replied and it said, 'You have saved yourself from me, but the people coming after you will not be able to save themselves from me.'" Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of all mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, he was saved from this world. He had no wish, no desire, no taste for the world, my dear viewers. He did not wish for anything in the world. Whatever he was given, he would immediately give away. The most generous, nobody could match Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then, those in the companionship, those who spent time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine those individuals.
And then imagine Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with nobody else there, but there's only two people. He's the second, Thani Uthnain, the second of the two. Allahu Akbar. He spent time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when there was nobody else there. Now, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed and given us, the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, our clothing, just to be able to wash these clothes so easily. What is washing nowadays? Like, what is washing nowadays? One is having a tap and then placing your clothes under the tap and, you know, putting some sort of liquid, some sort, and, you know, any cleaner, anything which cleanses, used to cleanse. Any agent, you can say, cleaning agent, and rubbing the clothes and trying to remove the dirt, remove any stain, etc. And that's just one cloth, and then getting on the second one. And nowadays, we have washing machines. Subhanallah. We have the wealth to purchase washing machines, to run washing machines. This is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's just one thing, clothes, food, you know, many things, my dear viewers, the things we have around us. So many things. We cannot count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, you know, all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Khulafa'i Rashidun, these great Khulafa, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who spent time with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, the fear they had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these blessings which would be bestowed upon them, it would bring tears to their eyes. Not just tears to the eyes. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was crying for some time. What was it that he was given? Even you would agree with me, Madhu. It was nothing. It was water and honey. What's water and honey? Imagine you were given water. Think, okay, we will be given water. And you were given honey. And then you would think, wow. How many of us would think, wow, that's honey. Or, wow, that's water. No. You think, okay, this is honey, this is water. You just add it as a side. You know, it's just a side dish. Along with that, you have all of these juices. You know, along with the honey, you have all different types of sugars. You know, you'll have your food, all these sweet foods. You know, you'll have how many different courses? There's a starters, isn't there? Some people have pre-starters too. And then there's the main meal. And then there's dessert, and there's this, there's that, etc., etc. It was none of that brought forward, no. It was not meat, it was not chicken, it was not all of these other things. All of these veggies or whatever, all of these different types of food, none of that. Just water and honey. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu began to cry. And then he remembered this narration, this hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why he cried. And he considers that to be a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this world, this the food is part of it, isn't it? It attempts and it tries to indulge us. And I'm not a person, and neither do I claim to be free from this. No. You know, sadly, my dear viewers, inshallah, we all have this tendency, this love for world, this love for... I love my food. And especially nowadays, you know, I'm loving my fruit and I'm going for like exotic fruits. Normally just, yes, speak about the 5 daily fruits. Or, you know, try having 5 a day. Today, we do have a beautiful fruit, and this is known as the cherry moya. But my dear viewers of Madan Inshallah, first let's move to the daily hadith sharif, and then we shall hear about that. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today we're going to hear some signs of hypocrisy. The famous servant of the Prophet, the companion, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, relates that he heard the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "This is the salah of a hypocrite. He sits and waits for the sun until it comes between the two horns of Satan," meaning which is about to set. "He then stands, pecks 4 times and does not remember Allah in this except a little." Now, 3 rulings derived from this hadith. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi expertly explains this hadith. The three rulings that have been derived from this are, firstly, it is a sign of hypocrites to offer Asr prayer near its end during the makruh time due to being engrossed in worldly business. Secondly, 20 minutes before sunset is considered the prohibitively disliked time, meaning the makruh time. One should offer salah within the recommended mustahab timing. The third ruling is that one should perform ruku' and sujood calmly and with serenity. The Prophet ﷺ likened the hastily performed sajda of a worshipper to the pecking of a rooster when it hastily pecks at grains on the ground with its beak. Dear viewers of Madani channel, salah should be offered calmly and with serenity because we are prostrating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has its respects, its boundaries, the ways to offer salah. All of these have been mentioned in books. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to properly perform salah. Ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, mashallah wa azzurrah, today we shall be hearing about a fruit. And I have a, some people would say, a weird looking fruit before me. There's this fruit I heard about, and I think it's called the sun's egg or something along these lines. It is very, very expensive. I think it costs about £1,000 or so. So, and just now as I was looking at this, it's turning gold. That fruit is quite gold. And it's meant to be like a from the family of mangoes. It's supposed to be amongst the sweetest in the world, that is. And that's because of how it is farmed, you can say. Nevertheless, coming back to this fruit for today, the cherry moya, my dear viewers of Madani channel, well, generally, I think it was initially, yes, green, and it does have these spots, if you wish to call them, these black spots. It is very, very scaly. At the end of the scales, the color darkens, that is. And as it becomes more and more ripe, it does seem to get darker. So this is how we know it's ripe, when you can press it quite easily without putting too much strength and too much effort in, you know it's ripe. I'm hoping it's only ripe and it's not, as you would say, become, you know, ruined. That is, inshallah, azza wa jal. So we spoke about this fruit previously too. This fruit, my dear viewers, inshallah, is very, very high in vitamin B6. It is high in vitamin C's. It is high in fiber too. So, you know, beneficial, no doubt, as many fruits are. We did come across one fruit which was not so beneficial. And this was the mangosteen. Quite shockingly, you know, mangosteen has carbohydrates in comparison to other fruits. Normally we eat fruits because they're very, very beneficial, aren't they? But this is something different. I'm going to cut this in half. This is also known, as we said, as a, well, there's a family of these fruits. This is known as a cherry moya, but it's also, you could say, it's a custard apple. Was very close to be known as a custard apple. So you'll have the same in an apple. You'll have this this root coming downwards. The shape is like that of an apple too. But inside is custardy, it's soft. And these are very, very sweet. I'm going to give it a taste, inshallah. I'm going to cut a little slice, that is. There are many seeds. These seeds are not edible. We cannot eat these seeds. And don't even try. They are very, very hard to eat these seeds. But the amount of seeds in them, this is, because they're in a way the problem. Because you would think that as soon as they open, okay, maybe there's a few seeds on the outside. You know, I remember when I first opened one and I thought, okay, there's a few seeds on the outside, let's remove those seeds. And then we'll be able to enjoy the rest of the fruit. But it's not like that whatsoever. If you were to cut it again, you'll find more seeds. And these are big seeds. These are like speed bumps, aren't they? Where you're trying to enjoy something and, you know, you get many of these coming out. So whilst eating them, you wouldn't be able to chew them all at once. So you'll probably have to take a big bite and then you'll have to, you know, try to place the seeds on the side and then you'll have to spit
the pits, if you wish to call them, seeds, whatever you wish to call them, you'll have to spit them out. But they are very, very nice, I would say. Definitely very nice Mandi viewers. You should give them a try. They are exotic because they're not really grown in this country, but they come from Southeast Asia. So subhanAllah, that's today's fruit. And the fruit is the cherry moi. There are variants. There are variants, but in terms of taste, they're exactly the same. Or close to exactly the same. I'll have to taste another one to truly tell. Nevertheless, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, that was today's fruit. And the fruit is cherry moya. That's all for today. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we have been speaking about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he had so much fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a few hadith sharif about fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this one's beautiful. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam states that if through the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tears, even the size of a fly's head, tiny, even the size of a fly's head, fall from any truthful believer's eyes and they drop onto any part of his face, he will be kept away from hell by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Single tear, just crying out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with sincerity. Even if a person can't bring it out, if a person tries, even this is very, very important. Why? Because it is copying the old ya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which itself is a good action. Another hadith sharif, that when a truthful believer trembles with the fear of Allah azza wa jal, his sins shed as if leaves shed from a tree. Allahu Akbar. One more hadith sharif, my dear viewers. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu has narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by my majesty and honor, I will not gather two fears, nor do I gather two reliefs for my bondsman, meaning bring them together. If he remains fearless of me, I will inflict fear upon him on the day of judgment. And if he fears me in the world, then I shall relieve him on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madinah Channel, we need to have fear. I need to have fear. Yes, we must have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because every single day we perform sins and even the good deeds which we perform, are we performing these with sincerity is a very, very important. We must ask, may Allah ta'ala grant us sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness. And again, we pray that our brother who passed away from Keithley, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the best of the akhirah, inshallah, azza wa jal. That's all for now, my dear viewers. Inshallah, we shall be returning with more rise and shine. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.